Thank you, Coach. Coach Thad. Isn't this fun? I'm glad I didn't go on vacation. Amen. I'm glad I didn't go to the ball game last night. I'm glad I'm here. I really am. I'm glad that you're here. And I'm glad that you're glad that I'm here, that you're here. All right? Everybody's glad this morning. Sounds like Pollyanna, doesn't it? But it is. It's awesome to be here. What an awesome presentation of the gospel of Christ through song. It's on that CD. I'm telling you, if you hadn't picked up that CD yet, you're missing it. I'm telling you, that is anointed CD. Choir, orchestra, thank you so much. Thad, thank you, brother. Man, wow. Y'all, have I told y'all lately that he's coming back? If you're here Wednesday night, I did. And by the way, he's coming back and we're going to that city. There'll be no need of the sun and the moon and stars in heaven because we'll have the light. The light. The light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is the gospel and he is our Christ. Amen. Open your Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Now, I've been talking about the church over the last 4 weeks. I talked about, first of all, why I love my church. Talked to you about that, why I love Lindsay Lane, and why I'm so blessed to be your pastor and have this great church. And then we talked about our purpose statement, worship, grow, and church, worship, grow, and serve in the church, and why it's so important that we have a purpose statement. Know why we're here today, that we worship him, we grow in Christ, and we serve him. So I want to conclude today talking about the church and the message that I really thought that would be interesting to preach and teach. There's a little bit usual because there's not a lot of scripture today. We're going to talk about Acts chapter 2, about the first church, the first New Testament church. We're going to talk about that. But I'm going to share with you in this message that I'm excited about. I told my wife this morning, I wished I had this message about 20 years ago, Bradley. I wish that I had this message. We started our church here at Lindsay Lane, and when I first came, and the church started in 88. I wish I'd had this knowledge of this, what I'm going to share with you today, because we're going to talk today about how do you adapt to the size of your church. How do you adapt to the size of Lindsay Lane? How do you adapt to the church that you grew up in? Let me see your hands this morning. How many of you grew up in a small or medium-sized church? Raise your hand. I know I did. I raised up in Round Island Baptist Church, which was a small church and kind of grew to a medium size. But probably none of you, some of you have been involved in a church this size maybe all your life, but not very many of us. Did you know the average church in the Southern Baptist Convention is around 50? The majority of churches in the Southern Baptist Convention, there's 45,000 of them, but the majority of them is around 50 to 100. See, we don't think about that, but that's the majority of churches that are out there in the Southern Baptist Convention. And so we need to talk about this today, and I want to share it with you about how to adapt to the size of your church. Years ago, Millard Fuller, who is a Habitat for Humanity, he did a workshop in Pittsburgh to the Pittsburgh Theological Seminary, where he had 200 pastors in attendance. He assembled the pastors together and quickly pointed out about how the greed and selfishness as a reason that the church didn't have enough money, because of people's greed and selfishness, they didn't have enough money to accomplish the purpose and the mission of the church even around the world. So Millard then asked them a seemingly innocent question. He said, is it possible for a person to build a house so large that it's sinful in the eyes of God? Can a person build a house so big that it's sinful in the eyes of the Lord? So he asked them that question. And every one of them, all 200 pastors, raised their hands and acknowledging that it can be sinful to build a house that big. He said, well, can you tell me then exactly what the size, the precise square footage, a certain house becomes when it becomes sinful? And silence. You could have heard a pin drop. Finally, a small voice from the back said, when it's bigger than mine. When it's bigger than my house, then it's sinful, all right? But I want to talk to us today, does size really matter? Does size really matter? Well, we make choices every day pertaining to size. We choose what size car we're going to drive, for instance. We choose the size house that we're going to build or live in. We choose the size shirt or the size shoes that we're going to wear. We choose the size meal you're going to eat. And you can even supersize it, all right, at McDonald's. So we're choosing all these things, and we're even choosing the size church that we're going to attend. We choose the size church that we're going to attend. So we're talking about size all the time. Listen to this. In the USA, churches, in their directory, they have churches listed by size. In their directory, you're listed by the size church. And they explain what the size churches are all about. For instance, a mega church. You've heard this term, mega church. People call us a mega church, which we're not. Lindsay Lane is not a mega church. A mega church is a church at average attendance of 2,000 people every week. Now, we got 2,000 members, but we don't average 2,000 every week. You see, there's a difference. And so a large church, which would incorporate us, a large church is an average weekend attendance of 301 to 2,000 people. We run about 1,300 or 1,250 to 1,300 total people here every week. So, all right, except on holiday weekends, all right? But we run that many about every week. So we're a large church. And then a medium church is classified as a weekly attendance between 51 and 300. Now, most of us grew up in probably a medium-sized church. And then a small church, which I'll be preaching at when I leave here. When I say amen, I'm going over to Harvest or Madison area, and I'll be preaching today. Our first service is Lindsay Lane East. They're a small church. They have about 10 or 12 people there, and that's considered a small church when your average attendance is less than 50. All right? So it's a church plant, and I'm excited about that. So a lot of us, as we indicated, most of us grew up going to a small church or a medium-sized church. Most all of us, probably 90% in this room today, grew up in a small or a medium-sized church. Mark Driscoll, who's the pastor in Seattle, Mark Driscoll said this: there are three major variables necessary to understanding a church. Now, I want to ask you this. Do you understand your church? Do you understand about the church and the size and all of that? Probably not. So I want to help you today with this message. So Mark Driscoll said there's three variables to understanding a church. Number one is the theology of the church. This is your doctrine. This is your statement of belief. Brother Randy and I, we teach a new members class, and I teach the part where I share with you our statement of faith. What does Lindsay Lane believe? What do we stand for in our theology, in doctrine, what we believe in the Bible? Very important. Are we liberal? Are we conservative? I would say no, we're conservative. All right? And then the second thing is the ministry philosophy. What are we about here at Lindsay Lane? Mark Driscoll said the second thing would be the ministry philosophy. Our set of values defines us as a church. In other words, are we a mission-minded church? Or are we trying to reach the world for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we engaging the culture? Are we a fundamentalist church where we don't engage the culture? Where we just kind of stay to our own self? And we are a missional church. We are engaging our culture. There's seeker churches out there who have targets for people. They're trying to target a certain group of people. And then you'd ask yourself, are we contemporary? Do we have contemporary music, or do we with a band, or do we have a traditional with a choir? And we're somewhere in between. We do have a choir and orchestra, but I wouldn't call us contemporary, and I wouldn't call us traditional. I don't know what I'd call us. Just come and hear us, amen? Music like that, I think, pleases God, and that's the point, all right? If it pleases God, if it exalts Him in His kingdom, then that's good. And the third thing he said, not only theology, not only ministry philosophy, the third thing Mark said was the size of a church. You need to understand the church about the size of the church. The size of a church affects nearly every aspect of your church. Bigger churches are not simply larger versions of smaller churches, but they're very different in organization. They're organized different. They have to be. Size affects all the lines of communication. We got 1,000 members here every week, over 1,000 every week, so we got to have lines of communication. We got to have the leadership to support our church. So it's different from a church of 20 or 200 than it is 2,000 or 1,200. The communication lines, the leadership is organized a little bit different. And a lot of things are organized different as a church grows. It's simply the church size does matter for how a church operates. Let me say that again. The church size does matter in how the church operates. So you need to understand that today. And those of you who've come from smaller churches to Lindsay Lane, you've already seen it. You've already experienced it, as we have, as we've watched the church grow together. Now, one size does not fit all. You need to understand, when it comes to church, one size does not fit all. Amen? A lot of you said that. Probably, I don't know if I like. I heard this the other day. A lot of our people in the members class, they'll say, when I came here, I said, I'm not going to a big church. I don't want to go to a large church. And they said, well, we came. Because when we came in, we found out it wasn't like we thought it was. I mean, our pastor there is country as cornbread, all right? And the people are friendly. They're blue-collar people. They're just like us. They just happen to be a lot of us. There's just a lot of us, okay? And so I like that. Now, larger churches, it's a fact that larger churches have more to offer when it comes to programs. Some of you come because you got more programs for your children. You got more programs for senior adults. We got many ministries here. And maybe the church you left or came from didn't have stuff for your children, didn't have things for your students, and didn't have things for senior adults and all of those things. Now, I don't know if that's the right reason for coming or not, but it's a fact. People come because of those things. Let's face it. They come because of those things. And so a large church offers a lot more things. Now, I want to do a little comparison, about 2 minutes or 3 minutes, of smaller churches compared to larger churches. Although big churches have more programs, usually a small church is less complex. It is. A large church, the larger it grows, the more complex it gets. It really is. It gets complex around here at times. So the larger church and the smaller the church, usually the more personal it is. Why is that? Because you know everybody. In a small church, you know everybody. There's Uncle Susie. There's Aunt Joe. I mean, Aunt Susie over there. There's little Timmy. Oh, little Timmy's going to sing for us today. And see, in a smaller church, you know everybody. But when you come to the larger church, you don't know everybody. It gets more complex and less personal. Let's face it, it's just less personal. That's why you need to be in small groups. All right? So we know that. We know that here at Lindsay Lane. In a large church, you can go unnoticed. And sometimes you can even fall through the cracks in a large church. Because you're here and you're large. We're out there. We don't know exactly who you are. That's why it's imperative to get in a small group. So we will know you. We will know when you're sick. We will know when we can contact you and all of those things. So there's some advantages to a large church. There's some disadvantages to a large church and vice versa. All right? So it is less personal and you won't know everybody. In a small church, you can always have a parking place, a good seat, and you'll know everybody. Right? So there's some inconveniences. Some people are not able to handle the size of the church. We've had some good people to come in these doors and say, you know, I just don't like a large church. I just can't handle a large church. And they can't. And so they go to a smaller church. Now, a lot of people can't handle the geography, right? Some of you have come up north where it's cold. You can't handle it. So you come down here where it's hot. Some of us down here where it's hot, we can't handle the heat, so we're going to move up north. And so a lot of things affect us that we just can't really handle, we don't really like. Some of you lived in the country. You can't stand living in the city. Some of you lived in the city. You're not going to live in the country. That's just where you grew up. That's what you're used to. And so you've adapted to the country. You've adapted to the city. You've adapted to the cold. You've adapted to the hot. And so you're not going to move. And there's people like that when it comes to churches. They've raised that way. They've adapted to that. They're just not going to change. And some of you have, and that's why you're here. And so the bottom line is there is no best size church. Size definitely affects the church, but there is no best size church. So let me go on record saying that. I think Lindsay Lane is just the right size, don't you? I'm like Goldilocks. I like it, all right? But every size church has its difficulties, and every size church has its problems. I'll never forget what Jimmy Jackson told me one time. Our church was growing. Jimmy Jackson spoke here. He said, I want to tell you something. The larger the church, the more problems. That's what he told me. Look right in the face. He said, Dusty, the larger the church, the more problems you're going to have. But you know what? I welcome them because we got people here that are loving and caring, and we can handle the things that the devil throws at us because we're a united church here at Lindsay Lane. We really are. And so I'm glad I'm here, aren't you? And so there's a lot of difficulty, but there's also a big God. So that's why we need unity. Your pastor stresses this all the time. We must be unified. Not that we all going to agree on everything, but we got to come together in unity. Because God blesses unity. Look at Acts chapter 2 now. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. By the way, I'm going to speak real fast today, so if you're taking notes, you better keep up, all right? I got a lot of ground to cover, a lot of ground to plow, and I got some time, and I'm going to try to end on time because I got to be over there today, all right? So Acts chapter 2, verse 41. I've shared this many times, but I want to share it with you again. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Who's the them there? That's the 120 disciples per se that he already had following him. But the message was preached and 3,000 got saved. Wow. And they continued steadfastly. Now, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, his teachings, there's that doctrine, and fellowship in the breaking of bread and in prayers. They had fellowship, the koinonia. Then fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Now, all who believed were together. By the way, we assembled together then, they assembled together now, right? You say, well, they had house churches then, they sure did, but they had a temple too. And Jesus preached in the temple. The apostles preached in the temple. That's why they gathered at the temple. All right, let's look what the Bible says. All who believed were together, had all things in common. That's a good thing. They sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all, and everyone's need was met. That's tithing, that's giving. If the average church Christian member would tithe, we would meet all the needs we would have. And we say, well, I don't like borrowing money. I don't either. But it's a fact, if you're going to grow, you got to borrow to keep growing, because people, 20% tithing, the other 80% get on board, we wouldn't have to borrow it. Until then, we're going to do what we got to do to reach people. Amen? So I thought I'd just inject that. I feel better, all right? No, I'm kidding. So, look what he says. They sold everything, they put it together, and in other words, they gave, and they had fellowship. And then verse 46, so continue daily with one accord, unity. Where did they continue daily with one accord? In the temple. They met in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, fellowshipping, and they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. They had unity. There's problems in the church. Yes. Do you get your feelings hurt in the church? I guarantee it. But at the end of the day, we're Christians. Let's put on our big boy pants and let's get together and work it out, and let's wait till Jesus comes and let's serve the Lord. Amen? So let's do that. That's why you handle your problems. You go to the Lord. You go to the person. You work it out. Verse 47, they praise God, have all things in favor with one another. And guess what the Lord does when a church does that? When a church is doing Matthew 18:15, when a church is unified, when a church is coming together in one accord, God adds to that church daily as such should be saved. And that's what's happening here at Lindsay Lane. Over the last 3 weeks, we've had many additions. We're baptizing there almost every week. Why is that? It's just because God likes us better than he does the average church down the road? Heavens, no. It's because we're being obedient. It's because we're having favor with God. We're having unity in the body of Christ. We're giving back to him. We're serving him. We're worshiping him. And we're growing in the Lord. God blesses that church. That's what he blesses. It's not about us. He doesn't just bless us because we're coming. He's blessing us because we're obeying. And when we obey, God blesses. Now, how would you describe this New Testament church? Well, they were unified, they were vibrant, they were soul winners, evangelistic, and they were growing. Now, would you say it was a big church or a small church? Well, verse 41, they had 3,000 saved in one day. They went from a small, medium church to a mega church in one day, in one service. You're talking about exponential growth. You're talking about growing a church. They went from that little small medium church to a big mega church in one day. It's taken us 20 years, 25 years rather, and we're still growing because God's blessing. Now, here's the key. It wasn't about the size of the temple. It was the size of their hearts. It wasn't because they had a big temple that God blessed it. It's because they had big hearts. God blesses the heart. Amen? Regardless of the size, regardless of their size, they continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, breaking bread from house to house, fellowshipping one another, and doing what God would bless. How did God respond? Verse 47, he added to the church, as such be saved. Now, here's what I'm going to share with you today, the meat of this message. I read an article a year or two ago. I shared it with our deacons. I read this article by Dr. Tim Keller, who is a Christian apologist. He's an author and he's a pastor of a church in New York. He wrote an article, and it just really intrigued me, and I shared it with our deacons over a year or so ago, and I brought it to staff retreat, and we kind of went over in staff retreat, and I just told my staff, I really need to share this with the church. I believe the church needs to hear this. And so today I'm sharing it with you, and I'm going to share it with the church at Lindsay Lane East as well. Now, he wrote an article entitled, How Strategy Changes with Growth. Here's the article that he wrote, How Church Changes with Growth. Now listen to the quote. I'm going to give it to you. It's in your outline. I want to read it to you. Let's listen. A church's functional style, its strengths and weaknesses, and the roles of its lay and staff leaders will change dramatically as its size changes. That's a true statement. One of the most common reasons for pastoral leadership mistakes is blindness to the significance of the church size. Size has an enormous impact on how a church functions. There is a size culture that profoundly affects how decisions are made, how relationships flow, how effectiveness is evaluated, and what ministers and staff and lay leaders do. Size and the growth dictates that. We've grown at Lindsay Lane out of necessity because God has blessed us with many people. We could never get this many people in the first sanctuary. We could never get this many people in the Sunday school classes we had. That's why we've had to build over the years. That's why we've grown over the years. We keep growing because the people keep coming. And so God blesses that. But size, the growth we've experienced and the size, it dictates what we do here at Lindsay Lane. I've seen it firsthand. When I came here in 1988, we had 32 people. It was me and the secretary, only staff that we had. So I had multiple hats back then. I did a lot of stuff. And then our first staff member was Brother Bradley that we called in about 3 months after that as our song leader, our worship leader. And so we began to grow. God began to bless, and we began to grow. And as we grow, we started adding this and adding that. We added buildings. We added people. We added staff and all those things because the size of the church was dictating the growth. The growth was dictating by the size of the church. You got to adapt to it. Amen? You got to adapt to that, and we did. Now, listen to this. A large church is not simply a bigger version of a small church. There's a difference, as I said, in communication, the formation, decision-making process changes. It really does. And all the leadership skills, your staff and our staff, we've got to grow with the church. If we're not growing with the church, and we're trying on our pastoral skills, we're trying to lead a church of 2,000 with the skills of a church of 200. And you can't do that. That's why our staff and I, we have to always attend seminars and conferences and in Bible studies till we can grow in the Lord, because our people are growing, our church is growing, so the staff and the leadership's got to grow with it. And I appreciate our staff in doing that. So it's very important we understand that. So how does the growth and the change affect the church? Well, it's like this. Let me give you an example. Just say, for instance, some members of a church, let's say our church, some members of a church running 2,000 members, around 1,300, running 1,300 almost every week. Say you're running that, and you're not able to get to the senior pastor when you want to. You can't call him when you want to. You can't just drop by and see him when you're off. Well, I'm off today. I'm going to go by and see Brother Dustin. He's not doing nothing, no way. So I'm going to go down there and hang out with him. Well, I'm going to hang out with Brother Bradley today. I'm off day. I'm going to go out and hang out with him. At a church of 20 or a church of 100, you can probably do that. But a church of 2,000, there's no way. There's things we've got to do every day. There's things we've got to manage every day. And that's why you have to have an appointment at times. Now, you don't like that. The average church member doesn't like that. I call him. I want to talk to him right now. I want to see him right now. I want to see her right now. It ain't going to happen. Because a church of 2,000 doesn't operate the way a church of 200 does. It can't. And do the things we're called to do. Can I get an amen? Are you with me? I just want to make sure you're still here. Getting quiet, all right? So I really do. I want you to understand this because we've been through it. We've already been through this. I said I wish I had this 20 years ago. We've been through this. Now, here's the point. The result of change with size. A large church senior pastor must recognize his limits and his abilities. Thus, more of his time is required in interacting with the senior staff and the staff. His time is in vision casting, sermon preparation, prayer and community, let alone weddings and funerals. And, by the way, happens to have a family. And so he has to have time to do those things, and the church grows. It dictates what he has to do and what he has to be about. Now, that doesn't mean if you need to talk to your senior pastor or one of your senior staff that you cannot. It doesn't mean that at all. I talk to somebody every day that I'm here, every day. And people come by and they call, so I need to talk to you. So we're open to that, but I just want you to understand the philosophy. Now, in a smaller church, listen to this. In a smaller church, volunteers do a lot of the things in a larger church that the paid staff does. For instance, in 1992, I did a lot of stuff back then that I don't do now. Because now we have staff. You come from a smaller church, maybe you work done this, you done that, you done this, and somebody in the staff does it now. Maybe you clean the church for free. Well, we'll get you down here and we'll use you, all right? But we have custodians. We have people to help clean the church now. You see how it works? In a smaller church, volunteers do most of the stuff now that paid staff do. Not all, because I'm going to talk to you about volunteers just in a moment. We need volunteers, all right? So larger churches have a great deal of difficulty tracking their members who drop out or fade away. Some of you will leave and don't say anything. We don't know you're gone. And sometimes they'll say, well, y'all didn't, nobody called me. We didn't know you was gone. Anyway, let us know you're leaving. Then we'll call you, all right, and say, hey, why'd you leave? Anyway, so what do we have in place? How does a large church deal with this? People who do leave and we don't know and all that. In our staff meetings almost every week, Brother Sonny and Beverly provide us with sliding and soaring. Sliding and soaring is people who are sliding and soaring. In other words, we have track of our Sunday school. If you miss 3 weeks in Sunday school, your name's on it, regardless of why. You miss 3 weeks, your name comes up. And we say, where's Brother Brian at? He ain't been here in 3 weeks. We need to call him. Sunday school teacher needs to check on him, and the outreach group needs to check on him. That's how we keep up with you. So when somebody calls you, we're not trying to pressure you or say, man, what are you doing in here? You're going to hell if you miss 3 weeks in a row. We're not going to do that. We just want to know where you are. And maybe you're sick. Maybe you're sick. I had a couple of my Sunday school class. I got to go, Wayne. I got to hurry. I had a couple of my Sunday school class when I was at Round Island. I was a Sunday school teacher, and I didn't do that. We didn't have outreach leaders there Sunday like we. I had to do it. This teacher did it. And they hadn't come for about, 6 or 8 weeks. So I finally called them one day. Mark said, hey, where y'all been? Well, we done been divorced for 4 weeks. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I didn't know. You know, and they had. I didn't know they were divorced. And so that's why we have to track all that. So that's the fallacy of a larger church. And that's why we have equipping the saints and all those things. Now listen to this. Smaller churches. You've been here. I thought I'd throw this in here. Listen to this. Smaller churches, by its nature, give immature, outspoken, opinionated, and broken members a significant degree of power over the whole body. Since everyone knows everyone else, when members of a family or a small group express strong opposition to the direction set by the pastor and leadership, their misery can hold the whole congregation hostage. I've seen it. Somebody's been there a long time, gets hold of that congregation, everybody else is afraid. Here's what they say. Well, if we do that, some members are going to leave. And so the pastor digresses. He, we won't do it then. If they're going to leave, we won't do it. And that's just the way it is. And some small churches operate that way. All right, now here we go. I want to share these with you. There's 11 of them. I'm going to read them pretty quick, okay? But I want to share these with you. There's trends or changes that come as a church grows. Now, you see how Lindsay Lane has grown over 25 years. We're celebrating a 25-year anniversary on October 6th. And you just, when I go through these, a lot of you that's been here a while, you can just see the trend that's happened with our growth. Number one, the larger the church, the more complex it becomes and the less its members have in common. In other words, in that small personal way, if you will, the church becomes more complex. Why is that? Because we're reaching more people. There's a diversity of people here in our ages. Look at all the different ages here now. Look at all the ethnic groups that we have here. And all these kind of things as a factor there. the need arises for multiple services, multiple Sunday schools, multiple small groups, multiple staff, and even multiple buildings. All those things happen because of the growth. The larger the church, the more multiples you get. It's because you got to keep up with the growth. Number two, the larger the church, the more decision-making falls to the staff rather than to the membership and even to the lay leaders. You've seen that happen here at Lindsay Lane. When I came here, this was a deacon-run church. It had to be. They were the leaders. They didn't have a pastor at the time and only had 32 people, so the deacons led the church. I mean, they really governed the church. And then when they got a senior pastor, the senior pastor worked with the deacons, and then for a while it was still kind of a pastor-deacon led. And then it became pastor-staff led, which it is today. A pastor staff led. But change has dictated that, and that's the way it ought to be. It's biblical about that way anyway. The senior staff or the elders of the church must increasingly deal with everyday, top-level, big-picture issues. They happen around here every day. A lot of them you don't know about. In a small church, you might know about some of them. In a larger church, you don't know about all the things we have to deal with. That's why you call staff. That's why you have staff to handle all these multiple problems, all these multiple good things that are happening every day. That's why we're here, and that's the big picture. As a church grows, listen to this, as a church grows, the more decision-making is pushed upward to the staff and less to the congregation. You do understand that. The bigger you grow, the larger the church, the more decision-making has to be done by the pastor and staff and less by the congregation, because you're not here every day for one reason, and for another reason, we're here, and that's what we're called to do. So that, needless to say, a lot of people uncomfortable that as well. By the way, the seven famous last words of a dying church, we never did it that way. We just never did it that way. That's why you're dying, maybe. But see, things happen. Number three, the larger the church, the more the basic pastoral ministry, such as, listen to this one, this is one that's happening right here at Lindsay Lane, because we've grown. The larger the church, the more the basic pastoral ministry, such as hospital visits, discipleship, teaching of Christian growth, and even the counseling, is done more by lay leaders rather than the senior professional staff members. The lay leaders have to do a lot of things. In a small church, the pastor usually does, or a staff member usually does, because of the growth. We've got so many people. We've got over 2,000 on our row. It's happening here at Lindsay Lane. Let me share you what has happened. We got a ladies' group. We got a ladies' group that goes out almost every week. They visit the hospitals, they visit nursing homes, and they visit the sick and shut-in. We got a ministry group by the name of Wayne Peters. They go out on a weekly basis. They visit the hospital. They visit mostly nursing homes, shut-ins, and all of these to over 40 or more different areas where they go to in hospitals and nursing homes. They're lay people. They're doing that. Now, our senior staff and I, we do it too, but we have one staff is assigned to each day of the week for a hospital visit. But see, our laity is doing a lot of that. A lot of you are discipling others. A lot of you are doing other things outside the church where you're ministering to the body of Christ. That's right out of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, where the leadership equips the saints to do the work of the ministry. Right out of Scripture. That's the way it ought to work, and it's working here at Lindsay Lane. Hallelujah. It's working here, and I appreciate all of those who are doing that, and it's just an awesome thing. Here's a great truth in your outline. This is so true. I want you to listen to this. In small churches, policy is decided by ministry by many, and ministry is done by few. In smaller churches, policy is decided by many, and ministry is done by few. While in a large church, ministry is done by many and policy is decided by few. And that's the way it ought to work. In a larger church, it has to work that way. Think with me. Now, why are you teaching us this? Why are you saying that? Let's think with me a minute. We got 1,000, 2,000 members. We got we have a 1,300 or so every week who comes to Lindsay Lane. Now, what if all of us got in a business meeting? 1,300 on business meeting night. And by the way, that'd be some of your biggest crowds. We saw that here a few weeks ago. And it just happened. A pastor told me the other day they had a big decision to make, and he said they had to get out chairs. They had people they hadn't seen in years who showed up for the business meeting. Anyway, What would happen if we had a business meeting? Let's just say we need to buy a new copier. All right, church, we got to buy a new copier. What kind do we need? You got 1,300 opinions now. What do y'all want to get? This kind? By the way, we did this in a business meeting when I was here when we were smaller. We used to have business meetings every month when I was here when we were smaller. Why did we do that? Because we was a small church. That's what small churches do. And we did it. And we had we voted on a vacuum cleaner. It was the longest business meeting we've ever had. It wasn't ugly. It wasn't bad. Somebody said, we need an upright. We need a mantle. We need a Hoover, blah, blah, blah. It went on and on. I told them that night, we'll never do this again. And we haven't. We rarely have a business meeting because your staff is handling the day in and day out business of the church. But when we do have a big decision for the church, it's like we called everybody together in the Lindsay Lane East the other night. We'll inform you on that, and you're going to have a voice in that. So, for instance, think with me. What about electing deacons? We don't vote on deacons anymore here. Why? What if I said, all right, Randy Brown, because you know Randy, what if I picked out one of our deacon nominations? I guarantee you over half the church don't know them. You don't even know their character, and yet you're going to vote on them? Are you listening? In a small church, you probably know him. You know where he lives. You know where he shops. You know everything about him. But in a large church, you don't even know who the deacon candidates are. And so that's why the deacons and the staff elect. Anybody can elect a deacon, but we don't vote on them anymore because of that reason, because of our growth. It's the same thing with staff and things like that, because you'll be here for weeks if you try to bring that out with 1,300 people, all right? I'll give you a scenario. A pastor told me this scenario one time. I didn't understand it at first. I got to think about it. I said, you know what? It makes a lot of sense. Here's what he told me. He said, how many people's in your congregation? And I told him. He said, now, how many people in the congregation do you think are actually saved? Now, Billy Graham will tell you that 70% of the members are lost. Billy Graham believes that. 70% of the average church members are lost. So I said, well, I don't know. He said, let's just say 50% of your members are saved. 50%. And that's a high average. I said, all right. He said, now of the 50% that are saved, how many of them are mature Christians growing in the Lord? They attend regularly, faithfully giving, all that. How many of the 50% are doing that? I said, well, I don't know. He said, well, let's just say 20. Because that's usually what I said. Well, let's say 30 at Lindsay Lane. Well, he said, all right, 30%. So you got 30%. Now you have a big business meeting. And you're voting on a crucial thing in the church when only 30% are actually mature Christians growing. And most churches are voting with 100% of the people, with half of them not even saved. Half of them not even growing in the Lord, and yet they're voting on what you're going to do with the direction of the church. It just doesn't make sense. So when you grow at a larger church, things are different than what we grew up with. And so we just need to understand that. Number four, the larger the church, the more systematic and deliberate the assimilation of newcomers needs to be. That's why we hired a minister of assimilation, Randy Brown. His main task is to assimilate people into our church. He does a good job of that. And see, you know, you say, well, when I grew up in the church, when they came forward, we introduced them to the church. We used to do that with a small church. We don't do it anymore. We take them out back or back here in the counseling room, and we talk with them. And then we need to present them back to you. We're working on how we can do that. We have a new members board, which I bet you 70% of you don't even know where it is. It's right out here, a new members board. We put our new members on it. And say it's a big church, you didn't know that, okay? That's okay. And we're going to try to put them in the bulletin, or we're going to put them on our web page. So people who join, used to do it in a newsletter. We don't have a newsletter anymore. So the people that join, you usually baptize some of them, we're going to kind of introduce them to you through the web page or through the bulletin, all right? You ever remember this? Here's Joe and Jane. They joined this morning. Now, if you're voting on them to join our church and good membership, you just let it be known by saying amen or I, or raise your hand. And if there's any opposed to that, and of course there is none. When I came here, we did that. People joined the church, we said, all right, let's vote on Jane and Joe if they're going to be members of our church. And they said, of course there is no. Well, there is none. Why are you doing it? And churches do that every week. And of course, there is none. Anyway, it's just changes. Things change with growth. All right, number five, the larger the church, the harder it is to recruit volunteers. Why is that? Because we got so many people. We need more volunteers. It's one reason, because we've got so many ministries. And by the way, let me say this. I'm sending a letter out. I told you I was going to do this. I know it's over 500. I'm sending over 500 letters out to our volunteers. I hope we don't miss anybody. We're trying to get all of our staff to let me know who all the volunteers is and your pastor. You're going to get a letter from your pastor. It's going to say thank you for volunteering here at Lindsay Lane. We have so many of you that do that. That's what it takes in a larger church. In a small church too, but especially in a large church. And I want to thank you for that. It's harder to recruit them because you don't know the one recruiting you. In a small church, you know Uncle Joe's going to come over there and recruit you. You know him. Come over here and help me in this ministry. They don't give you an option. Come over here and help me in this. We shouldn't. Anyway, but in a large church, Brother Randy or somebody may come to you or whoever's the director of that ministry to recruit you, and you don't even know who they are. You don't have to know who they are. It's what they want you to help them do is the key. All right? Listen to this. Number six, the larger the church, the better communication has to be. Now, we work on this. We're not perfect at this, but we're working on our communication. Why is that? Because there's so many of us, and we got to communicate things. You know, people don't want to be left out. Well, I didn't know that was happening, and maybe you didn't. I hear this sometimes. Well, I didn't know we was having that Sunday night. You know what I say? It was in the bulletin. It was in the bulletin. You didn't read it? That's where we put it, in the bulletin. By the way, we're about to go to video announcements. We're going to release Brother Bradley. Rest in peace. All right. Anyway, we're going to release Brother Bradley on the announcements, and we're going to have video announcements. So that's the way, that's our generation. That's just where we are. And you'll see them on the screen. So we're working on that. All right. So that's how things like that have to change. Brad, you've done a good job. Amen. I have to buy you lunch now. All right. Number seven. The larger the church, the more planning and organization must go into events. By the way, y'all know our choir and orchestra practice? Yeah, they practice. You know why? We're a bigger church and there's more expectation. Let's just face it. In a bigger church, there's just more expectation. Now, let me share something with you about this. In a bigger church, you got a big choir up here, a big orchestra. And boy, wasn't it awesome this morning, choir? You did such a great job, blessing our hearts. But see, they practice that song. They've been over there practicing to this evening. They'll practice. And see, you just can't get up here and say, well, I didn't practice today, but I'm going to try to sing this song. Y'all pray for me. You ever hear that? Here's something else. In a smaller church, the worship is more horizontal because you know the one singing. It's usually Aunt Susie, Uncle Joe, or little Timmy, or little Johnny. Oh, there's little Johnny again. He sang 2 weeks ago. He's singing again because he got to go. And it's more this way because of the relationships. In a bigger church, the worship is more vertical because you probably don't even know who's singing. Some of you didn't know that was Thad Prater, who's baseball coach at Athens High School. See, you didn't know that. You're in a big church. You didn't even know his name. You don't know who he is. But it's not about that. It's not even about you. It's about him. And so our worship goes to him. It's not about horizontal. Well, I wonder when little Johnny's going to sing. He ain't sang 3 weeks. Anyway, you just don't have to deal with that. It's okay. You can do that, but it's just, that's the way a bigger church does. All right. Number eight. The larger the church, the more it's subject to frequent and sudden change. Hallelujah. How many of you been at Lindsay Lane? No, we're a changing church. Amen. We have been. And why is that? Smaller churches have little turnover. Larger churches, you have more turnover. And you have people at smaller churches been there for years. I mean hundreds of years. And in a larger church, you've got people coming in, going out. A lot of you are moving because of your jobs. You moved here because of your job, in smaller churches too. But it's just a lot of stuff going on. And so that way, there's a lot of changes. The more people you have, the more changes it is. And so the larger church grows because the membership is growing. And smaller churches usually try to avoid losing a member at all costs. And we do too, believe me. Let me share this with you. I just want you to know this from my heart. Any member that leaves this church, any member for any reason, it really, really touches my heart because I'm a shepherd. I have a shepherd's heart. And sheep, when sheep leave, I want to know what happened. Why did you leave? What's going on? And so most of them, not all of them, most of them come to me and say, hey, we're moving. We got this. We got that. Or maybe God's calling us to another church or whatever. I just appreciate the respect. Let me know. By the way, if I leave here, I'm going to let y'all know. What would you think if you came in next Sunday and Pastor Leif went somewhere else? Where is he? I don't know where he is. Well, I want to know the same from you. When are you going to leave? Let me know, or let us know. We just love you, and we won't talk you out of it. Anyway, y'all do want me to be honest, don't you? Anyway, it just happens that way. Some of your job careers change and all of those kind of things. You know, we go to two services. We've been in two services for over 8 years. We've been in two Sunday school forever. Why do you do that? Because it's changing, because we want to reach people. We want to reach people. And so you do whatever it takes to reach people. Number 9, the larger the church, the more important the senior pastor and ministerial staff leadership abilities become. The larger the church grows, the more important the senior pastor and the senior staff and leadership abilities become. I touched on that already. In a smaller church, and just listen, in a smaller church, usually the pastor is responsible for preaching and visiting hospitals. Usually. There's some administrative duties there, but in a small church, he better visit them hospitals and he better do the preaching. Now, you don't have time to prepare a lot of times because he's always doing the other. I'll never forget what Murray Wilton told me. They called Murray Wilton to Southside. I heard him tell this in my Bible class at Heritage. They asked him a question. Well, Brother Murray, you're going to come to our church. What do you think about hospital visits? He said, I think they're the devil. I said, what? You tell them that? Yeah. What do you mean? Because the devil can get me doing this, 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 and this, then I'm not preparing the sermons. I'm not doing what God's called me to do. And he meant that sarcastically. He does visit hospitals. He said, if I'm visiting a hospital all day long, then I can't prepare the word. I can't do what I got to be doing. It kind of made sense after you think about it, but at first it's kind of shocking, isn't it? And it really is, but you know, you got to think about what's going on. And so the pastor's role changes. Pastor's role changes. We got to be about leadership, administrative around the church, casting vision, planning, the community thing, strategy, discernment. All of those things that are going on, managing the staff, all these things. Here's the truth in your outline. The senior pastor's staff must stay a step ahead in vision casting and planning. This church is growing rapidly. It has grown rapidly. It's not growing as rapidly as it used to, but it's still growing. And your senior pastor and your staff, we got to stay a step ahead. If we don't, we're going to come in one Sunday and say, well, my word, what happened? They weren't planning. They weren't strategizing. They weren't having vision. You got to have those. And as a church grows, you got to do that. Your pastoral staff, whether you like it or not, they become more specialists in their ministry. That's why we have a minister of administration, Brother Bradley. Brother Randy, he's primarily responsible for outreach, assimilation. Eric's over our mission in our family ministry. Sunday is over our education. Dwayne's over our music and children's choir. They're specializing in that now. They don't wear 15 hats. Because we have lay people, we have other staff members, because these things are planning and strategizing to continue. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 3. You know why God gave the church elders and bishops and overseers and pastors? So they could plan, so they could lead the church. The pastor and the leaders, they lead the church. And that's why he gave them those. And it's very important to understand that. And sometimes you have problems arise in the church, and one of my duties is to make sure it doesn't become a disaster. Really is. I got to be on top of it if I know about it, because I'm responsible for the flock and for the church, and I have to be aware of stuff, and I got to plan for stuff, take time for those kind of things so it doesn't turn out to be a disaster. Number 10, I'm almost through. The larger the church, the more important it is for senior pastor and staff to develop longevity. You know what the average tenure in a small church pastor is? 2 years. The average tenure in a smaller church is usually around 2 years. And there's a lot of reasons for that. It's not because he wants to leave. Sometimes he's forced to leave. But, you know, I've been here 21 years. Our staff's been here about that long, some of them. And one of the reasons we have continuity, one of the reasons that we can do things here is because of the longevity of our staff. We have continuity. We have stability here at Lindsay Lane. We really do. It's because of longevity. Homer Lindsay said, you don't really become the pastor of the church until 5 years. It takes 5 years before you're really the pastor of that church, before the people trust you, before the people know your heart. There's a lot of truth in those things. It really is. And here's the last one, number 11. Finally, the larger the church, the more distinctive vision becomes important to its members. Now, y'all listen to this last one. The larger the church, the more distinctive vision becomes to its members. Now, why? The reason why this is because in a smaller church, it's more about relationships. It's more about relationships, getting to know everybody and all that. I'm not saying all small church, I'm just saying the average small church. It's more about the relationships. Everybody knows everybody and we're just getting together and all that. In a larger church, the reason most people come to a larger church and will tolerate complexity and impersonal, the reason you do that is because we got a vision here. We got a vision, God's doing something here, and you want to be a part of something that's bigger than you are. And so you want to go to a church that's got a vision, they're working about the things of God, they know where they're going, they broadcast it to the people, and together God's leading this great church. People come because of vision. Here's the truth. People have a tendency to join a large church because of its vision. They really do. A lot of you have told me that. I've come here because what's going on here. Henry Blackaby, Experiencing God, says find out where God's working and get in on it. And a lot of you are doing that because of the vision that we have. Proverbs 29:18, where there's no vision, the people perish. Rick Warren says where there's no vision, the people will find a new parish. And that's what's happening. Where there's no vision, there's no direction, there's no vibrancy, church is deader than 4 o'clock, they're going to find a church where there's vision and where something's going on there. It doesn't matter the size of the church as far as God blessing it. It does matter the size of the church and how you understand and adapt to the size of the church. A lot of you have made a lot of adaptions here. A lot of you have come from smaller churches and you've asked the question, well, I don't understand. We don't have business meetings every month. We don't do this. We don't do that. We grew up with that. And we tried to explain why. And that's what this message is all about. I want you to understand how the size of the church affects the church. It really does. Now, we would like for you to join this church. We want you to be a part of it. We really do. We love you here at Lindsay Lane. I believe we're a very personal church. I believe we're a church that loves the Lord, got a vision, and God's blessing us. And I want you to be a part of a church like that. I really do. So maybe you're visiting today. Maybe you've been praying about where God would have you to serve. I'm going to ask you to come today and join. If God's leading you to come join. First of all, you need to be saved. If you're not saved, you need to come be saved. First of all. And then come and join the church today. We'd love to have you. God's moving in your heart. And we'd love to have you here at this large church. All right? Because God's large. I believe we're large because God's large. I don't mean we're small because God's not. He's small. It doesn't mean that at all. It just means God's doing something here. Okay? I'm through. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the word. I pray now for the invitation. Lord, I just thank you what you're doing here. We're going to see a little quick video about the seed company. You're growing us in missions. You're growing us in ministry. And Lord, there's changes that come with that. Some of them we don't like. Some of them we don't understand. And mostly because we don't understand the size of the church and what's happening. And today, Lord, I thank you for the message. I really do. It spoke to me. It helped me. And I pray it will help the people in Lindsay Lane East. And it'll help all of us today grow. So Lord, I'm praying for this invitation that you would speak mighty to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you come today? God's speaking to you. Stand together. And you come right now. Will you come?